SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
You are listening to Football Full Circle on a Tuesday following yet another doubleheader on a Monday night to end out a week in the National Football League. Week 4 coming to a close with two games on a Monday. One was good and we saw some points. One was not so great and we did see a little bit of points. But boy, there are questions in Miami. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Welcome to Football Full Circle, live right here on Sports Grid Radio in Sirius XM Channel 159. The opening month, Scott, of the NFL season now in the books. It is the first day of October. We look back on the end of week number 4, the doubleheader, and the end of the first 4 weeks of this NFL season to forecast what we will see coming down the pipeline in October, November, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's amazing. Same thing last week, right? When we had the two games. One was a clunker, and then the other one, Washington-Cincinnati, was the great one. Same thing here. I mean, I guess that's proof that you need two games on a Monday night, although personally, I actually just like the one. I'm still waiting for Jared Goff. Has he thrown an incompletion yet? You know, put a game between Detroit and Washington, between Jaden Daniels and Jared Goff, the way he played last night. I don't think we'd have any incompletions. It's crazy. And my boy, Boy Wonder Jr., as I like to call him, Mike McDaniel, getting exposed week after week without Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, this so-called offensive genius, even Kirk Herbstreit, who is the worst, him and Fowler are the absolute worst. Even those guys were on the verge of actually criticizing the Miami Dolphins offense last night. Just a pathetic performance by my Dolphins.
Yep, it was putrid, and that was the call. Could Mike McDaniel, like his best buddies in Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay and others, take a quarterback that had not been there for a long amount of time and quickly put together a strong offensive game plan? The answer, a resounding no last night in Miami. We'll get to that game in just a moment. Let's start with the nightcap in the Motor City. The Detroit Lions hosting the unbeaten previously Seattle Seahawks, one of five teams at the end of 3 weeks. That was a perfect undefeated 3-0 that came to a close last night for the Seahawks. Detroit, Scott, is a 4.5-point home favorite, cruises to a 42-29 win. Detroit now 3-1 straight up and 3-1 against the spread, booked as the favored side in all four games this year. If first four, total for Detroit last night, sub 50 this season, and it skies over 42 points out of the Lions. It goes over 46.5 last night in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, Ben, I really do believe the boys in Vegas listen to the stats and trends as much as anybody else. There were two games this week that I really was shocked that the numbers over-unders weren't over 50. You know, the Washington game against Arizona and this one. And this one actually wasn't even close. At least the other one was 49.5. Yeah. But I think they buy into the trends because over-unders at 50 or more have just been just 3-1 under. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like 30-11 over the last three seasons. So, but I was shocked that this one was only 46.5 up and down the field. But kind of a moment of truth game for Seattle, Ben. This really kind of like, if they were to go into Detroit, right, and be able to beat the Lions, now all of a sudden we're talking, wow, Seattle, you have to take them seriously. So it was kind of like one of those, all right, up for Seattle. They played well, right? It was a two-score game in the end. That's kind of how it was. But I thought they accounted themselves well, but they're not on Detroit's class. And Detroit did a good job, I thought, of just kind of separating themselves from those 3-1 teams, 2-1 teams that are, you know, trying to, you know, emerge as one of the better teams in the NFL. So a good job.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but good job by Seattle for showing themselves well. They didn't get blown out. It wasn't an embarrassment. And I thought a good job by the Lions.
And that was part of the criticism, if you want to call it that, for the Seahawks entering. Not a fraudulent 3-0 start. You go out there and beat the teams that you were scheduled to play, but Seattle certainly taking advantage of Bo Nix making his career debut. They won that game, did not cover Seattle 26-20 because of a late Bo Nix scramble touchdown as a 6.5-point favorite. They pushed in New England, escaping in overtime against what has turned out to to be a dreadful Patriots team. And then, of course, playing Skylar Thompson and Miami Week 3 looked good in that football game, winning 24-3. Seattle 3-0 entering last night, but 1-1-1 against the number. First game as an underdog for Mike McDonald at the helm of this Seahawks team. And you're right, Scott, they didn't let the game get out of hand. They were down 14-0. They scored. They were down 21-7 at the break after a missed field goal. They fought back on their opening offensive possession of the second half to make it respectable. But ultimately, we have to look to the Lions, who, Scott, have been the best cover team in the National Football League since Dan Campbell took the reins in 2021. Now 40-18, the only team covering in 65% of their games or more, 68.9% is now that cover percentage. And often early on, it was Detroit as the underdog. The last year plus, it has been the Lions as the favored side. 11-5 ATS as the favorite last year. Now both 3-1 straight up and against the number this year. And you talked about Jared Goff, primetime perfection, setting a new NFL record. 18 passes in the game overall, 18 completions. The most in a full game to be thrown and completed, moving past a previous Kurt Warner record for the Lions last night. Jared Goff was sensational and also caught a touchdown as well, Scott. He threw two through the air.
You got to play at that in every Detroit Lion game, right? Whether it's a touchdown pass to the wide receiver or to the quarterback, or a touchdown pass to an offensive lineman, or a fake field goal, fake punt. They have stats on that. And believe it or not, and not that shocking, Detroit does lead it. With Dan Campbell as head coach, he leads the NFL in fourth down attempts, fake field goals, and all that other goofy stuff. So, and you're right. You know, and the Lions, I'll give them credit. You know, it's one thing to be an underdog and cover this spread. That's one thing. But they made the transition, Ben, of being the underdog covering the spread and now being the favorite and still covering this spread. You know, there's a lot of good teams. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City, you look at his numbers. Him as over 3.5-point favorite, not good against the spread. But the Lions have been able to make that transition and be nearly as good, not quite, but nearly as good as a favorite as they are now in a lot of these games as they were an underdog. It's amazing.
Scott, that first year in 2021, Detroit was the dog in all 17. They were 11-6 against the number. Last year, a favorite 16 times, 11-5 ADS. Now in 20 games as the favorite since the start of 2023. They're 14-6 against the number. That is incredibly profitable, even when they are expected to win football games, laying 4.5 last night against Seattle. And Scott, to your point, Jared Goff and the offense finally on the uptick. Total last night closed at 46.5. The Lions were one of eight teams after the end of 3 weeks that was under in all three games, and Detroit under by an average margin of 14 points per game. Scott, speaking to your point about totals of 50 or higher this season, really the last few years in the NFL, staying under and substantially under all three of the first totals for Detroit at 50 plus. Last night down to 46.5 against the Seattle defense that was okay metrically in its first 3 weeks in terms of containing yardage, but did allow the Broncos to score 20, the Patriots to score 20. I thought there would be some points last night, and we skied over 46.5. Jared Goff, 18 for 18, 292, two passing touchdowns, caught a touchdown from Amon-Ra St. Brown. And however you slice it, Scott, there used to be competition per se between Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, who was the lead back for the Lions. They're both getting it done. Montgomery, 80 scrimmage yards yesterday, 40 on the ground, 40 in the air, a touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs, 14 carries, 78 yards, two touchdowns as well. This Lions offense showed its potential last night.
Yeah, if it plays like this, now the defense got to step up a little bit, but it was just one of those wild, you know, back and forth crazy. You know, you get those sometimes, right? I'll give the Lions defense a pass. But if that Lions offense plays like that, boy, I can't wait for Lions and Minnesota. I got to check the schedule, see when the first time those two teams meet up. But we should have some pretty good wars in the NFC North.
The NFC North is quite a compelling division. We'll talk season outlook next for Detroit, who's 3-1. Won the division last year, entered as the preseason favorites, but no longer is. It's Minnesota at a 4-0 mark. We're on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, we'll recap the game in Miami, if there is even any season outlook or change in our viewpoint in just a moment. But Scott, we saw two really good teams in the NFC face off last night in Detroit, both now 3-1. The Seahawks suffering their first loss of the year, Detroit improving to that 3-1 mark. We'll talk about Seattle in just a moment, but you mentioned the NFC North. What a division we have. Every team at 500 or better. The team that is in first is one of the two remaining undefeated teams in the National Football League. The most impressive and surprising team in the opening month, that's Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings at a perfect 4-0. And the Lions are 3-1, Scott. The Lions are doing exactly what is now expected of them. A divisional title a year ago for the first time in three decades. A playoff win for the first time in 32 years. Reaching the NFC Conference Championship game for the same in that same amount of span of 32 seasons for the first time. But that's where the Lions are expected to be this year. And through the opening month, 3-1. They've looked pretty good in doing so. Win total still 10.5. Over still has the juice. Still favored to make the postseason. Minus 300 that price. Now second best number by themselves in front of Philadelphia at plus 550 for the Lions. Only behind San Francisco in terms of those NFC championship numbers. The only number that has changed, Scott, they are no longer the favorites to win the NFC North, plus 145, the price on Detroit. The Vikings in front by only 20 cents, but still the favorite at plus 125.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And no matter what happens this weekend, the Vikings will still be in first place all by themselves because the Lions have a bye. So they'll be there at 3-1. Even if the Vikings lose to the Jets over in Europe, they'll still be 4-1 for whatever that's worth. They do play in 2 weeks. They got Dallas after the bye, Detroit, and then they play at Minnesota, and that'll be the big one. Are we ready to buy into Minnesota? I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, especially when you look at some of these other NFC teams that we thought, you know, San Francisco maybe having a little bit of a hiccup, but I do think in the end they'll be there. But the Lions struggled. We thought maybe they would be halfway decent. The Eagles are a mess. You know, maybe things will get better when everyone gets healthy, but it's hard not to. Even the pessimist should still be able to buy into Minnesota, considering, Ben, they don't even have TJ Hockenson. I mean, as good as that offense is, boy, when they get him and put him at the tight end position, as long as Addison can stay out of the police blotter, I mean, that is a – we talked about this, though, right? When we were discussing J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold, you know, we said, what – you know, Sam Darnold in that offense with those players – there's a pretty good chance he'll do halfway decent. We weren't too sure about the defense, but offensively, there weren't really that many question marks. And he's obviously come through. You know, is he going to win on a big-time level? Is he going to win, Ben, when the season is in crunch time, 3-4 weeks?
Right.
And all the pressure really, you know, that we're going to have to see, and that I still want to see. And that's why I still think the Lions are going to win the division.
There's no doubt about it, Scott. And I think there is value in backing Detroit to win this division because they're going to be there step for step with Minnesota, even if the Vikings keep on this drastic pace. But is this a Cinderella's glass slipper type scenario for Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold, and Minnesota? Are they going to be a double-digit win team when the year comes to a close? The updated win total now for the Vikings, 11.5. The under has the juice. It was 7.5 before the year got underway. But, Scott, it's really hard to fault Minnesota. It's not a faulty 4-0. It's not beating up on bad teams or a couple of fluke wins. This is a team that has earned every bit of that 4-0 start. Not only just 4-0 straight up, one of two remaining undefeated sides, along with KC, the only team that is perfect against the spread in the NFL in their last three wins outright as an underdog. Minnesota will be a favorite again for just the second time this year in the first since the opening Sunday of the season in London against the Jets. Is this a time to come back down to earth ever so slightly? That we shall discuss a little bit later on. But Sam Darnold's got fifth best price to win the NFL MVP award at 11-1. He leads the NFL in passing touchdowns. He's got 11. He's the only guy with 9 or more so far this season. But I did say this before the year because I think the greatest offseason move the Detroit Lions made making sure Ben Johnson was still their offensive coordinator. And I think you can look at Jared Goff's number. It was 50-1 before the year, 45-1 in certain spots. Now 20-1, ninth best price. If he continues to play as efficient as he did last night, and the Lions offense wasn't great to start the year in their opening three games. In fact, Scott, 240.5 was Goff's passing prop last night against Seattle. The only time he had gone over that in the opening 3 weeks was their one loss of the year against Tampa, and he didn't throw a touchdown pass and two interceptions in that game. So it was good to see Detroit win a game and look really good offensively doing so. 20-1 price on Jared Goff might be worth the sprinkle.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. There are props, you know, FanDuel, and I'm sure the other books, they give you adjusted totals, right? And so one adjusted total was 300 yards on Jared Goff, which is a signature number for quarterbacks, obviously, right? So when you look at the score and you look at the game, the guy didn't have an incompletion. They put 40 points on the board. You know, they're a throwing team, obviously, as well as they can run. You think, okay, he's got to throw for 300 yards, right? 292. So, you know, even when you think you got to get that whole thing cornered, different things pop up. So that's not bad. Sam Darnold would be the one, but then I'm thinking to myself, as I said this to myself, they may give him like the comeback player of the year. Sometimes when they have another award, they can say, all right, we're not going to give him the MVP, even though he's deserving. We'll give him the comeback player of the year, and we'll give this other guy who's also deserving the MVP. So that might hold Darnold back, but find different ways, Ben, to capitalize on the Vikings' success. You know, getting 140, 150, 130, whatever it happens to be by your book, for them to win the division. Yeah. Do I really think they're going to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. Or the conference? You know, that is the one way to kind of capitalize on their success. Maybe a little nugget on Sam Darnold to win the MVP at 11-1.
Yeah, we'll see. The Vikings right now, +750, fourth best price. The Lions, +550. Detroit trying to play in its first ever Super Bowl in franchise history. They have won an NFL championship back in 1957, but that was 10 years before the very first Super Bowl we ever did see. Quickly here, Scott, the final 30 seconds of this segment. As you look at Seattle, off to a 3-0 start, not bad last night on the road, but not great. Do you think the Seahawks are going to be a playoff team when this year is through?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think they're the benefit of an easy schedule.
Yeah. 9.5 is the win total for Seattle at the moment, but the under does have the juice. Can a 9-8 team claim a playoff spot in the NFC? We shall see. Now to Miami, the other game on Monday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Our second straight week of a Monday night doubleheader where we had one really good game, or at least it was pleasant to watch with all the points that we saw, and one that was maybe a little bit less desirable. Scott, we go to Miami, where it was the Titans and the Dolphins. Tennessee, 2.5-point road underdog in South Florida. Dolphins debut for Snoop Huntley, who was signed just about 2 weeks ago, knew he was going to be the starter after the rib injury to Skylar Thompson. I said this on this show, my favorite bet in this game, because I was way more interested in Detroit and Seattle, was maybe asking, or tasking, you could say, Mike McDaniel, known as Boy Genius, to figure things out with Snoop Huntley, who is the starting quarterback now in Miami, at least for the time until there is quarterback questions to be answered from a health perspective with Tua Tagovailoa on injured reserve. But Scott, again, offensively is what held Miami back. Tennessee picks up its first win of the season outright as an underdog, getting 2.5 points in South Florida, 31-12. Total of 37.5 does go over because of Tennessee's offensive output. Really nothing from the Finns. Miami remains the worst scoring offense in the National Football League. Snoop Huntley throws for less than 100. So how did Will Levis do? Opening drive of the game, throws an interception to a defensive lineman. His ninth turnover in three games, plus not even a quarter. He gets injured on the next drive. Could he have come back in the game? We shall see. But Mason Rudolph was out there. They didn't ask him to do much. Handed the football off. It worked well. Tony Pollard to score in 88 yards on the ground. Tennessee gets win number one of the year. Miami remains with that one win they had the opening Sunday of the season.
Yeah, you know, the story, listen, I could be biased as a Dolphin fan, but the story to me is the Dolphins losing, not necessarily the Titans winning, although the little quarterback situation there, clearly. But I don't understand it, Ben. You know, I've said this a thousand times with Boy Wonder, as I like to call him. And the guys on the broadcast, like I said, Herb Street and Fowler, they don't criticize anybody, right? I mean, nobody. And even they were at the point where it's like, I don't know how you have Tyreek Hill, Waddle, and A-Chain in the backfield, and you can't score? That's the first touchdown they had last night in 10 quarters. I mean, I get it. Okay, two is out. I understand that. But we've seen Green Bay with LaFleur have success, but with Malik Willis, I mean, is Huntley any worse, or Skylar Thompson any worse than Malik Willis? I don't think so, right? And yet Green Bay not only scored, but won two games with Malik Willis as their quarterback. We've seen other coaches around the league. What has Pittsburgh been able to do in the post-Ben Roethlisberger era with a bunch of has-been quarterbacks? You know, they've had some success. I don't get this fascination with McDaniel as this so-called offensive genius where the numbers just do not prove it out. They have a by far losing record against winning teams. They only feast on the bad teams. Without Tua, they're 1-6. They average less than 16 points a game. Yep. And that performance, Ben, one of the numbers I loved last night was over Huntley, 165.5 yards passing. I'm thinking to myself, 165 yards in a football game? I mean, you could get that in one half, right? He didn't even come close. I don't get it. I don't know how you can have so much offense and have so little productivity when you're so supposedly an offensive genius. No imagination, no motion on the sideline. This is the same team, Tennessee, last year, if you remember, that really derailed the Dolphins season with that upset win late in the year in Miami. You think these guys would be so pumped up last night, and it just, I just don't think he's a good head coach. I just don't.
Yeah, Scott, it's hard to argue right now. A good head coach is somebody that adapts to whatever environment. And obviously nobody wanted, nobody predicted, and the great fear was what would happen to Tua Tagovailoa. And head injuries are something very different than a back or a shoulder or a knee or an ankle, so there is the uncertainty that follows. But Mike McDaniel had Snoop Huntley in the building for 2 weeks. That's not a long amount of time. They knew Snoop Huntley was going to start for the entirety of this week, and they had the additional day on Monday. We've seen Mike McDaniel's buddies from the tree that he stems from, the Shanahan tree, the McVay tree, the LaFleur tree. We have seen Sean McVay take Baker Mayfield on 24 hours notice and win a game on a short week Thursday night. We have seen Matt LaFleur be better with Malik Willis so far than the Packers have been with Jordan Love. And Malik Willis was signed at the end of training camp, never expected to step in to a starting role. And they were 2-0 and dominant. 2-0 against the number as well in both of those games, winning outright as an underdog. And you get 12 points. And Devon Achane runs it 10 times for 15 yards. And Snoop Huntley with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill to throw to throws for 96. Scott, we could go out there and throw for 96 yards with those two wide receivers in a football game. I'm being a little bit exaggerative here, but that's how disappointing the Dolphins have been. More from Monday night in Miami next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So we had a matchup of two teams that are now both 1-3 on one of the doubleheader games on Monday Night Football to end out week four. Scott, we'll get to the Titans in just a moment. Tennessee picks up its first win of the year. Kudos. They were a 2.5-point underdog. In fact, Tennessee, I didn't realize this. I knew that some teams were booked as a dog all 17 times last year, Arizona, Carolina, but the Titans were as well. The Titans have been an underdog all four times this year as well. They get their first win of the year outright as a 2.5-point underdog. But Scott, it's been a disaster for Miami so far this season. Frankly, they haven't looked great even with Tua Tagovailoa in the mix. But of course, that is the main concern, his health. moving forward. There were reports on the broadcast last night. He is no longer experiencing any symptoms from the concussion suffered in the second half against Buffalo in week two. That's great. His football future, he is still very determined to see, but there's a chance he doesn't come off the IR until week eight. Might that be too late for Miami to turn this season around? And it's not just a team, Scott, that was expected to reach the postseason. It was a team that this was the year. They had talked about it all offseason. They had already been in the playoffs each of the first 2 years with Mike McDaniel. This was the year to finally win a playoff game once again for the first time since 2000, nearly two and a half decades ago. That's the last Dolphins postseason victory in the National Football League. And now, Scott, it doesn't even really look like Miami's going to get the chance to snap that very long postseason winning drought.
Yeah. Speaking of snaps, we were all making fun of Carolina last year, right? Because they went the entire season without snapping a football in the fourth quarter with the lead because their two wins came on the last play of the game. Miami's yet to snap the football with the lead, period, in four games, Ben. They've not had the lead. Well, how's that possible, Scott? They won a game. That also was on the last play of the game against Jacksonville. Yep. So in four games, they have yet to snap the ball with the lead, which is just amazing. It really is. Also, too, you know, you can say whatever you want about Huntley and Skylar Thompson and all this other stuff, right? They're all awful. But that's part of the problem also with Miami and Boy Wonder. You know, if there was a team that ever needed a backup quarterback, it was going to be Miami, right, with Tua being so susceptible. So, you know, the big question Dolphin fans have is how come there wasn't a backup quarterback? You knew this was a possibility. This, despite Tua playing the entire year last year, you had to know. I mean, Joe Flacco only got $4.5 million from Indianapolis. Can you imagine Joe Flacco with these weapons? You think they would be scoring 12 points or one touchdown in 10 quarters? I don't think so. So I don't know how they went into the season not having a real backup. And as far as Tua, you're right. If they don't win these next games, they basically, Ben, to me, have one more bull in their chamber with Tua. One more concussion, and then I don't know how they could look themselves in the mirror and put him back out there. And I don't know how his family could allow that. I don't know how Tua could allow that. So are you going to use up that bullet this year if the Dolphins are 1-7? Even 2-6, is it really worth it? Because if he gets another concussion this season, like I said, I don't know how they could bring him back. I mean, how many times can you rely on the poor guy? He's going to get himself, we say it as an expression, but this guy's got to get himself maimed. I won't say killed. He's got to get himself seriously, seriously hurt. And I don't know how they could look themselves in the mirror by doing that. So they got one more shot. They might just as soon hold off until next season.
Yeah, Scott, it is really difficult with head injuries, right? There is so much that is uncertain. We do not know necessarily what one means for the other. But one thing that is known, having one concussion makes your chances of getting a second much easier. Tua Tagovailoa has had at least three documented concussions in the last 2 years in the National Football League. And it will be interesting to see how that plays into the future, if by the time he can even come off the injured reserve, Miami has a shot of turning things around. And Scott, we have said this often, right? We talk all off season. We're trying to fill time here about what the outlook is for a team, win totals, and we always give a caveat of quarterback or key injuries. Outside of that, making sure they are healthy, they should do this or they should go over their win total, whatever it might be. And we've had the same conversations around Miami and Tua, but it is a little bit different because it's not a bad knee or a bum arm for Tua Tagovailoa. It is the uncertainty around the head injuries. But if we're having those conversations, then you bring in a backup. We laughed at Sam Darnold getting $10 million. Nobody's laughing now. We saw Joe Flacco come in on Sunday, lead Indianapolis to its first win of the season, hold off the Pittsburgh Steelers. Heck, in the game last night, Mason Rudolph did just enough to have the Tennessee Titans win their game 31-12 outright as an underdog. You want to know how bad things for Miami starting to look, Scott? It's a pick 'em. 1.5-point spread in favor of Miami, but -108 on both sides of the money line as the Dolphins head to New England on Sunday. It is not good. And the Dolphins got one of now two teams around the NFL failing to cover a number so far this year. 0-4 against the spread. The Texans booked as a favorite in all four games, 0-3 ATS. It is not good right now for Miami. And we'll see. Plus 235 is that playoff price, what it might look like in the next few weeks before Tua is even eligible to return, if they can turn this season around. I would not say, Scott, I'm overly optimistic, because it's the worst scoring offense in the NFL. And that should be the one thing Mike McDaniel might be able to even salvage or make look presentable, even without Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, listen, if they were an underdog, and it was, now it finished up with Miami being favored last night by 2.5, but they were an underdog to Tennessee to open it up at home against a winless team. So I'm actually surprised they're actually a favorite up in New England. I mean, listen, at least New England has a win, you know, and really two good performances, and they kind of held their own a little bit this past week against San Francisco, a couple of breaks, a couple of fourth quarters, or fourth downs that they didn't end up converting, you know, and otherwise it would have been even more competitive. So I would not be surprised at all to see the Patriots win that football game. Again, watching Miami these last couple of weeks, without Tua, is Huntley going to get a little bit better? I suppose he should be, you know, third week in. I almost feel bad for the guy, Ben. I mean, you're on the roster for 2 weeks. Not everybody can be Joshua Dobbs, right? And by the way, where's Joshua Dobbs? You know, where's Taylor Heineke? You know, go get Ryan Tannehill then. I mean, it's just amazing to me. But again, I'll answer my own question. How come they don't have a real backup quarterback, Ben? Because that's what happens when you pay a quarterback $45 million a year. You can't, you know, you can't delegate another $5 to $10 million on a backup quarterback. You just can't do it. And that's the repercussions of paying too. I just never would have given him that contract extension like they did. I mean, that was, you could have had him for this year. You could have franchised him for next year. You go 2 more years to it without a concussion and without any issues. Great. All the money will open up the bank for you in year number three. There was just no reason to do what the Dolphins did. And they're going to set their franchise back. You know, forget that this year to me is lost. What are you going to do next year, Ben? Are you going to delegate and devote another season to Tua as your starting quarterback when you go realistically 4 or 5 wins without him this year and you got a top five, top six pick and you can go draft a quarterback? Are you really going to say you're our guy next year again? It's a tough spot for the Miami.
Yeah. And now there is the monetary investment. Scott, there's not much, I think, overall you take out of Tennessee's win. They won their first game of the year. They looked okay in doing so. Defense was pretty solid. I think the number one thing that you have in Nashville is a true quarterback competition. I would not put Will Levis back out there. Nine turnovers in 3 games and a possession. If you're Brian Callahan and you want to see year two, Will Levis hasn't proven anything that he should even have more time to get the experience to develop. I think you put out Mason Rudolph and you try to stay competitive in football games.
Yeah, I would do that. Listen, I always kind of liked Mason Rudolph back to his days in college, Oklahoma State. And I thought he got a kind of a raw deal for whatever reason in Pittsburgh. You know, they had brought in, you know, so many other quarterbacks to kind of win the job from him. So I think he'll get you to, you know, close to 500 with that defense. The way that defense is played, you know, he didn't really, you know, distinguish himself last night, but I they're much better with him at quarterback. Let's put it that way.
At least he's not turning the football over. 9 turnovers for Will Levis. Just can't get that out of my head. Some early thoughts looking forward to week 5 around the National Football League. That's up next, live right here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Scott, when one NFL week comes to a close, we already turn our sights on the week that follows. And with the way that the league is structured now, Monday Night Football, 2 days off, short week Thursday night football game. But we always have an eye on the weekend and the injury updates around the National Football League. Right before the Monday Night Football doubleheader began yesterday, some key injury news to two key offensive pieces for the two favorites to win Super Bowl 59. Let's start with San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey, who has yet to play this year for the 49ers, the NFC title favorites, now is dealing with Achilles tendonitis in each of his two legs. It was in his right leg, and now it's in his left leg. Of course, got the update last week was that CMC was flying out to Germany to meet with a specialist. You and I said, if you have to go to Germany to meet with somebody to try to seek non-FDA-approved treatment, it's never a good sign. Does not seem to be a good sign here for McCaffrey or the Niners moving forward.
Yeah, this might be one of those, Ben, where you just say, you know, you're not playing in the regular season, or at least not until, you know, this December. You know, we'll give you a couple of games. And just, you know, just tell them, do whatever it takes to get healthy, whether it's rest, whether it's go to Germany, whether it's go to the moon, do whatever it is. But, you know, regular season, we don't need you in a regular season. And realistically, they should, especially in that division. You know, even if Seattle turned out to, you know, stay as good as they are right now, you know, San Francisco is more than capable of going to the Super Bowl, winning those games right on the road, come playoff-wise, with as much talent as they have. So I would do absolutely everything in their power. They need McCaffrey to win on a big-time, big-time level. And just say, just shut it down. You know, do whatever you have to do, but you're not playing. I don't care if the doctors say you're healthy tomorrow. You're not playing until December. Simple as that.
It would be the case, Scott, where they could forecast this out a little bit, right? San Francisco, still the NFC title favorites, off to a peculiar 2-2 start, but still 2-2, and they still have that best price to win the Super Bowl from teams from the NFC. The win total for San Francisco, just to show what kind of track and path they are on, still 10.5, even juice on both sides. If they're going to be a double-digit win team, there's a chance they even win the division for a third consecutive year. Seattle, though, the best record at 3-1 following the opening month of this season. It's so fascinating, Scott, both for the 49ers and the Chiefs, who we're about to discuss in a moment. You would figure, if there is any team that can deal even with losing the offensive player of the year, it's Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Heck, it's basically been the argument for Brock Purdy's career. Is he just a system quarterback taking advantage of the mastermind that is Kyle Shanahan? We have diminished the value of running backs in the last few years in the NFL. We have demeaned what they can mean to an offense. You would certainly think that's been the case for the 49ers. And Jordan Mason's been pretty good, at least 100 yards in 3 of 4 games. But I would agree with your ending point there, Scott. To knock off the Chiefs, to win a Super Bowl, something the Niners have failed to do since their last Lombardi Trophy in 1994, despite 8 appearances in the NFC Championship game in that span. They need a guy like Christian McCaffrey that is a difference maker even at the running back position, although we know CMC does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's amazing when you really think about it, all the success they've had, like the NFL's version of the Atlanta Braves. You would think they would have so many more Super Bowls, but you got to go back 30 years, you know, the last time they won a Super Bowl, despite being in many and being in the postseason every single year. But ultimately, they need him, right? Backups were all good and everything, but that's okay. You know, you get through the regular season, you do what you need to do to get into the postseason. And if your biggest obstacle will be Sam Darnold, you know, maybe Detroit, right? Or up, figure out Philadelphia or Dallas. I don't know which for one. Sure. Washington, you know, if they can continue along that fantasy run. I mean, there's really not that many, you know, really good stories. Yes. You know, but are they really good teams when it comes playoff wise in the NFC? You know, I don't really think so. So just do whatever you have to do. Get through the regular season. Get those guys healthy. And then, you know, worry about the postseason when the postseason gets here. But you know, you knew this was going to happen, right? With Christian McCaffrey, it was only a matter of time. It's whether it's Tua with the Dolphins or McCaffrey in the NFC with the 49ers. Those are the two that ultimately you're playing with house money whenever they're actually on the football field, because it's only a matter of time before Christian McCaffrey was going to get hurt. And he clearly is right now.
Been unfortunate for a guy that had only played in 10 games in the 2 years before the season in which he started in Carolina and was traded to San Francisco. He's been healthy with the 49ers outside of this season. Not a good start, of course. Rashee Rice got injured on Sunday in Los Angeles. Andy Reid said after the game, it's not good. They needed to do x-rays and MRIs and all that for the official confirmation of the extent of the injury to Rashee Rice. They still have said that there is no true extent they know as of right now. There's multiple different opinions. Yada, yada, yada. It's ESPN's Adam Schefter's report. With all that said, Scott, we had Dr. Chow on the show yesterday. He is like, in all of my experience, you pretty much have an idea based on this one simple test you can do if the ACL is torn before you get to the MRIs and all the official designations that you need. He fears the season is lost for Rashee Rice. Ultimately, even if it's not the entirety of the season, it's a significant amount of time, no doubt about it, for KC's leading receiver. So that would mean Rashee Rice out for a long amount of time, Isaiah Pacheco out for a significant amount of time, and the offseason acquisition of Hollywood Brown, who might miss the entirety of this season as well. Listen, we saw the Chiefs with a depleted and poor wide receiver room a year ago, still figure it out, still win a Super Bowl. Scott, how many injuries is too much offensively for Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and KC?
I don't think there can be too many. They would never be in a situation where it's like, all right, it's not going to happen this year. So knowing that, Ben, let me be the first to just throw this out there. Just, you know what? You never know. Where's Kareem Hunt now, and where was he beforehand? He's at Kansas City, and he was at Kansas City. I can give you a laundry list of players who are at Kansas City, left, and then Kansas City welcomed them back. So where am I going with this? Well, let's go back to Miami. Miami's season is lost, just absolutely lost. Is it possible that they could call up the Dolphins and say, what would it take for us to get Ty Hill back? Just a possibility. They've done it before.
Possibility. Yeah. Now, listen, that is the speculation, right? There are some names being floated for who KC might approach, if anybody, to add to the offensive side of the football. Some closing thoughts here on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, Scott. As we do, we get ready for week number 5. A divisional duel on a short week Thursday in Atlanta between the Falcons and the Bucks. But then you don't have to wait beyond that all that long like you would for the normal 1 p.m. Eastern time slate. You go to London across the pond for the first time this year, 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. It's the Jets and the Vikings. Not only revenge game possibilities for Sam Darnold against the team that drafted him third overall, but also Aaron Rodgers against a familiar former divisional foe. This will be game number 30 for Aaron Rodgers in his career against this Minnesota franchise, 17-11-1 straight up. But Scott, we spent a lot of the offseason talking about drama off the football field for the New York Jets. Well, following a disastrous loss to Denver on Sunday, drama because of actual football things. The cadence of Aaron Rodgers, a hallmark of his game that may have contributed to a sloppy penalty-filled defeat for the Jets, is more than a touchdown favorite against the Broncos. Five false starts on Sunday for Gang Green. Robert Saleh said after the game, the cadence had not been an issue all season. The operation took a big step back. And then yesterday, Scott, meeting with the media, kind of went back on his terms. We're always going to push the envelope with cadence. Always. Could that have been because Aaron Rodgers, when asked about his head coach's response on Sunday, said, that's one way to look at it. We could also take accountability. It seems to be there's a little bit of drama now, but Robert Saleh walking back in favor of his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who really wears the pants with New York.
Oh, he really does. It's just another example of the litany of examples of, like, who's running the show over there. All the silliness, the goofiness. Guy misses a few days of training camp. Wasn't an excuse. I mean, it just, and every single time Saleh wants to be the man and put his foot down, I think, Aaron Rodgers goes into his office and says, hey, don't forget about who's making more money and, you know, who's got more stability here. It's me, not you. So it's just, you know, this is why you play Aaron Rodgers if it was a problem in the preseason. I get it coming off an Achilles, but, you know, having a couple of snaps, if that's really an issue, you know, why would it be through the first, for the fourth game and not the first three? I don't know. But, you know, it's just the craziness. Just the lack of leadership with the Jets is just amazing. It really is. Ugly loss. You got to find a way. I mean, you gave Aaron Rodgers not one, but two chances, Ben. Two in the final 3 minutes to get into field goal range. And neither time could he get the job done. You know, the 50-yarder, I guess you could make the case the field goal kicker should have made that. But in those conditions, I'll give him an excuse. You knew you had to get more yards, and they didn't get it done. So they're 2-2. They're looking down the face of 2-3. They got an easy schedule, but this Viking game is not going to be, you know, anything easy. They, you know, obviously they want to win this football game over in Europe, but I got a feeling they won't. I was not impressed with Aaron Rodgers from what I saw him on Sunday. He looked old. He really did.
The Jets, a 2.5-point underdog for that matchup against Minnesota. And potentially, Scott, one of the best things about the Vikings outside of what Sam Darnold has done, a really solid defense. Green Bay did score 29, but Minnesota was up 28-0 in that game. Sure, you could maybe get mad at the defense and Brian Flores' unit for taking their foot off the gas, but they're still the fourth best scoring defense and fourth best scoring offense in the National Football League. And Scott, as Aaron Rodgers at the age of 40 off the Achilles tear, still needs some time to probably get into the flow, to get that cadence learned by everybody on this Jets offense. One of the bright spots for the team were the young running backs in the opening 3 weeks, both Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, 64 rushing yards. That's it. Against Denver on Sunday, less than 3 yards per carry. Breece Hall had 10 attempts for only 4 yards. It was bad in every phase for the Jets on Sunday against the Broncos, and now they have to try to turn that around to get back above 500 against one of two undefeated teams left in the National Football League.
Yeah, and this is one of the dangers, right? Before the season, when you do these over-unders, you look at schedules and you circle, all right, this is going to be a win, this is going to be a win, this is going to be a loss, right? You probably, for the Jets, you probably would have had this circled that this is going to be a win, right? Even over in Europe. But obviously, it's not the case, at least not with the boys in Vegas. But if you watch Jet games, I will say this, and not necessarily to a fault, Ben, but you know, when they get like first and goal at the 1 or 2 yard line, they've been throwing the ball. Like they're going out of their way to make sure, okay, Aaron, this is your team and we're going to ride your shoulders. Even did it late when they were in field goal range and they could have run the football in the final minute and they threw three times with nothing gained.
Which was crazy watching that game, the inability to get it past the 30-yard line to even make it a 42-yard field goal, let alone a 50-yarder for Greg Zuerlein. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.